Good morning, everybody. So today we're going to continue our series of the power of. For those of you that have been here, you might remember when Mark and Karen shared about the power of vulnerability, about being before God and being real before God and not trying to put on a show. And then not so far in the past, Gemma and Paul shared the power of hope, that we have in Jesus and his resurrection and what that means to us today. And today we're going to explore something that's very interesting. So this morning we're talking about the power of patience. Yeah. Who struggles with patience? Oh, me too. There's a few of us perfect ones over here that have not raised their hands or they didn't hear. There you go, Tom, we hear you.
Hi, everyone, I'm Catherine. I will ask you to excuse me. This is the first time up today, so just excuse my nerves, but thank you for your patience. So I thought we would look at, what is the definition of patience? So the Cambridge Dictionary says that it's the ability to wait or continue doing something despite difficulties, and to suffer without complaining or becoming annoyed. And in the dictionary, it says the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, problems or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. And then there's the Bible definition, which one will share.
So if we look at all that, we live in a world where, as everybody raised their hands, it's something that we all struggle with. And we live in a world that doesn't really tie in with that because everything is pretty much on a fast track these days. If we look at the internet, everything can be done on the internet. I, for those of you that don't know, you can clap hands now. I became a British citizen on Thursday. Yay! No more visa fees. And I did my application for my passport online. Yay! No queues, no nothing, which is great. But on the flip side of that, it kind of creates anticipation for everything to be that way. So the Bible definition that we've spoken about in time of preparing for this is trusting God in his timing, in his blessing, for his plan for your life.
So patience, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. So you've got love, and you've got all the other fruits of the Spirit, but patience is, it's a difficult one for all of us, and it's something that we always strive to achieve, and it's, I think it's one of the fruits that we go through daily. So every day there's a test for our patience every single day.
And also if you look at the fruits of the Spirit, if we look, we're not going to go through all of them, but love. If you ask for love, who wants a bit of love? Amen, yeah. Who wants a bit of joy? Yeah. That's a great one. Who wants a bit of patience? Yeah. It's a bit enduring, isn't it? It's one of those where you kind of sit on the fence. So we're going to watch a little video from one of our favorite cartoons that we watch with the girls together. And yes, hope you enjoy.
In today's society, we all struggle, so we're always in a hurry to do everything really quickly. We have fast food, we have instant mail, instant messages, and when we get instant messages, they require our instant response. You know, if you leave your phone for a little bit, it kind of calls to you, like you have to respond to it immediately. And it's in everything. I mean, who last sent a letter in the mail? Like, has anyone recently... Writing a letter and sending it in the mail, we don't do that anymore because it's not quick enough. Microwave meals, we do microwave meals. Traffic, when we go to work in the morning and we think, oh, we're going to get there quickly, but we know that actually there's going to be some traffic, but we need that patience to get there and to get there quickly. I mean, when we go to the gym, we expect immediate results. We want it to happen now. We want to go on a diet, and we want to be, you know, changed tomorrow. We want to lose it all the way tomorrow, but it's all a bit of a process. So I wanted to we've put up a discussion for everyone to just talk about and have a think about. If you can put it on the screen, Ron. So what do you practically do to avoid impatience or to strive for patience? So in all of those instances during the day, getting the kids ready in the morning, for me, that's quite a little bit of a task. But what practically do you do to avoid that? Or what do you think you can do to avoid that? So if you can just discuss amongst yourselves and then we can reflect. So you can have a look at that.
There's some paper and some pens, as you probably have noted. You're welcome to use that. For those who have not flooded yourselves with water, we do have some more paper if you want.
Right. Has everyone had a think about what you would practically do to help with patience? So Ron's going to come around, and if anyone's got any thoughts that they want to share, he'll give you the mic so you can share it with all of us.
So what do you practically do to avoid impatience or strive for patience? Who has an answer? Or shall I pick you randomly?
I say, old man. Clive. I get impatient with Clive. Who gets impatient with their husbands in this room? Sit your hands up. Yeah, we all do. But my lovely husband, he's very thorough. He explains things really well, and he's a great instructor and all the rest of it. But I don't need that at home. And I love him. I love him to bits, but he drives me crazy. And when he tells a story, it's too long. I pray for patience.
Okay, shall I give the mic to Clive now? This might take all day.
Thank you very much.
I say.
What we agreed... whilst Mavis was out of the room... first of all, think about preparation. So I'm sure Catherine thinks about what clothes she wants to dress the kids in the following day. She might lay them out very neatly, or she might ask Ron to do it. But either way, there'll be some prep. There'll be some planning. You need to give yourself time and to talk about things and to plan. There's obviously a good time, a right time, and a wrong time. Mavis said to me last night, after we've just sold our house and we've just agreed to buy one. So, so we're going to move half a mile so we can be closer to the church. Give consideration to your partner and family personalities. They might not necessarily think the way that you do.
Thanks, Ron. I think for us it's like control yourself as well, because when you're in situations like on the road, e.g., and people are pulling out left, right, and centre in front of you, and you know you've got to have a bit of control for yourself as well, not to like you know get really annoyed about it and stuff like that. So I think control yourself for me. I think
particularly in the country roads where there's lots of tractors, and you're in a rush to get someone, and you're like, oh, there's a tractor in the little roads. So yeah, that's definitely one of them.
Anybody else?
I think what helped me or is helping me to build some patience is taking time out to just to relax. And particularly recently when a group of us went off on retreat, we came back, at least I came back. I probably drove the rest of the group crazy, so you'll have to ask them, but I came back with a much more relaxed, in a much more relaxed frame of mind. Everything had happened relatively slowly there. Even the worship was articulated very slowly in a really positive way, not like Zootopia. It's putting, if you can take time out to put yourself in that situation for a few days, then you do get the benefits, and you, And so, yeah, it's just almost the flip side of trying to prepare, which we had as well, about preparing to do so that you don't get hold-ups, but actually learning to live with the hold-ups and learning to live with life's interruptions and embrace them.
Yeah, we belong to a drop-in centre, and one of the chaps, was just mentioning it, one of the chaps there is very, very slow, very much like the video that we watched. But what is absolutely amazing is all these people come from all different backgrounds. Some of them are homeless. And actually, they actually wait for him to finish what he's going to say. And sometimes it can take forever. And they give him the respect and they love him. And it's just wonderful to watch how people can actually care for somebody enough to wait for them to do, you know, finish what he's going to say.
We were talking about when Tom was in French A and he had come out of a coma, but he was in a post-traumatic state. So the lights were on, but nobody was at home. Tom wasn't really engaging. And I used to read the Bible to him, and I'd been reading about how God had helped his people escape from Egypt and all the miracles that he'd performed, and how Moses went up onto the mountain and the people couldn't wait, even though God had done all these miracles. They melted down their jewellery and they made a gold idol for them to worship. And I thought, how could you do that? How could you possibly do that when God had done all these things for you? And it was that day that we had our very first glimpse of Tom being connected. He'd seen a photograph of himself and he laughed. We were talking for about 5 minutes. He was interacting. And as quickly as it came, it disappeared. It was 40 days till the next time we had anything, and I started doubting that it had ever happened. And my mum didn't believe it had happened. If the physios hadn't been there, I wouldn't have believed it. And I just felt like God was saying, don't judge, because that's what I did. All the miracles we'd had, and that was a miracle, I did exactly the same. In that 40 days, I started to doubt and to lose trust, and I wasn't patient. So just wanted to share that.
I was going to share just one thing that I just found helped me with patience. I think having little kids, and sometimes you need to kind of slow down and take a step back, because, you know, we find that in the mornings we want to rush them out the door. We're like, come on, get your stuff done. And I've got a routine. So I get them up. I get up an hour and a half before we need to go. And then I get everything ready. And then an hour before, I let them get up and I let them kind of wake up. And then at 20 past, that's when their breakfast is done. So the breakfast is ready for them. And then 5:30, they need to start getting ready. And then it's normally at about 5:02 that they're still not really ready. But what I found, or what I think of, is I think living with kids and watching cartoons all the time, I think of Donald Duck. And when he gets in a temper and he gets really angry, and he counts back from 10, he goes 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, and he kind of slows down and he takes a breath. So I tend to kind of breathe in deeply, you know, in with the good and out with the bad. And then that's how I tackle that. And I'm going to move on to a little story from the Bible about Abraham and Isaac. So God had promised Abraham that he would have descendants as numerous as the stars. This was despite the fact that Abraham and his wife, Sarah, were unable to have children. When they were younger, they were too old to have children, and at the time of this promise. However, we do know that Abraham believed God, and God announced to him as righteousness despite this fact. Despite God reinforcing the promise over several years, when the promise was not fulfilled right away, Sarah suggested that Abraham take Sarah's handmaid, Hagar, to have his child. Abraham took her advice, and resulting in a child was Ishmael. It was not until many years after the original promise, when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 99 years old, that the promise was fulfilled by the birth of Isaac through Sarah. Because Isaac was a child of promise, not Ishmael, it caused strife in the household because the inheritance of Abraham went to Isaac. The fallout from the decision continues to this day through the descendants of Ishmael, the Arabs, and the descendants of Isaac, the Jews. As they continue to fight over who should own the land in the area of the Palestine. So from that story, it just shows that, you know, God does make a promise, but, you know, it's not on your agenda. It's on his agenda. And you have to wait patiently. And it's also about the journey. And in that waiting patiently, you know, you stop and you look around. Are you going to encounter someone? Are you going to encounter a situation that God wants you to be in while you're waiting? There's a few scriptures from the Bible as well that Ron's going to have a look at, which the Bible, it's just a few extracts that the Bible says about impatience.
Just before we do, I want to share something quite funny. We were talking about traffic this morning and how that's one of the areas I really need to look at patience in. I remember the day that Mark and Karen started. I thought I'd get here nice and early, you know, make sure I get here. So I left extra early. And as I turned off to Sedgborough to come, because I live in Evesham, to come through the area there, a tractor turns in front of me. One of those nice wide ones. So I think, that's all right, I'll try and pass it on the side. Yeah, a cyclist comes out, and I'm like, go figure. So I finally get, the tractor goes on, I turn left, I go. As I come out of Sedgborough, I'm about to go, you know, from 30 to 60. Slowly before you hit the sign, you're already at 45, you know, just to ramp up to the speed. And another tractor turns in front of me. So I was late on that day. What a great impression for a first day. But so just going on to scripture, we're not going to give you all the scriptures because there's quite a bit of them, but just a few points that we can learn from the scriptures. Patience originates from God, which we find in Romans 15, 4 to 6. Patience is a part of the fruit of the Spirit, which Catherine has already spoken about. Patience is a product of self-control and a part of godliness. Patience was demonstrated by Christ. Now, a very good example of that is, we all know Jesus was fully God even when he was born, but he still had to spend 9 months in the womb. He still had to learn all the Jewish things. What's that thing, Mark, that you said they have to learn? The Torah? Torah. They had to learn all, he had to learn that. He was as pretty much God as then. He could have just gone and flipped through the book and, you know, done. But if you think about it in the gist of things, if you look at Jesus, who was God incarnate, he had to wait 30 years of preparation for 3 years of ministry. That's crazy. And we're not fully God. We're not even near perfect. And we expect it to happen yesterday. But Jesus, who was perfect, took 30 years to prepare for 3 years of ministry. So patience was demonstrated by Christ. Patience helps us grow during trials. And patience allows us to be strengthened and blessed by God. Patience is pleasing to God. We've got some scriptures here, so if you want them at the end, just let us know and we will give them out. Okay, we're gonna put you guys to work again, if that's okay. It's a discussion time. So another very difficult question. What lessons have you learned through having patience? So something that you've gone through that God has taught you a lesson in. Don't look at me all bewildered, Mavis. Okay, everybody. Do we need more time or are we okay? 1 more minute. Woo. Patience. Wrap up now. So the question here, what lessons have you learned through having patience? And my lovely wife is going to run around because I'm exhausted, you know, just from that one run around. I just want to say something quite funny before we start. If you look back to the sound desk, you'll see our previous pastor, Fernley Hext. So just bear in mind, when you succession planning for the church, when you do retire as pastor, we stick you behind the sound desk. Brian, where are you? We need to talk to you after the service, please. Okay, who's up first?
I have been roundly reprimanded by my table for not speaking up on the first question, which was to do with... What was it?
What? It was, what do you practically do, or what can you practically do?
Well, surely the Christian answer, which I don't think got much of a mention, was that we trust in God as sovereign, and we trust that he's in charge not only of the big issues of life, but he's in charge of whether the traffic light in front of me is red, yellow, or green. So that's the, I think that is the answer, and we're in the business of trusting, and that's what we're called to, and we do make mistakes, and we do find it difficult, and I particularly find it very difficult, and I get very cross about it, but that's what it's about. So the answer to the second, the second question was to do with having exercised patience. And the answer is very simple. We learn that God is trustworthy. That may take time, may things go very wrong in the meantime, and we may be called to wait a long time to find it out, but we do find it out because God is in control. And in Christ, he has won the victory over the dark powers.
Yeah. Right. Yay.
I think also with your first comment, with the traffic and trusting God, what I normally do is I say, thank you, God, that this traffic light is going to go really fast. And thank you, God, that I'm going to have a really good trip. And, you know, if it's not the way that he plans, then...
We have to thank him anyway.
Thank you for the time that I've spent in the car and listening to the radio and having a sing-song.
Right, anyone else?
Probably a very different answer than the previous one. Mine would be not much. I probably learned much more from not having patience. And one thing I would say I would learn or have learned is that I can't change other people, but I've got to look at myself and see how I can cope better with the reality rather than trying to change reality.
I think one of the other things is when you go to the checkout and you get the option of the fast checkout where you don't have to deal with anyone. But then actually when you go to the slower checkout, you actually get to converse and speak to people and you get to, you know, have more of a connection with people. So that's one of the things that helps.
We, on our table, we talked about lots of things, but one of the things we talked about was how God, in his patience, lets us learn by our mistakes, and he lets us sort of live with consequences so that we might learn and grow. And we talked about, because we touched on the area of children and maybe being impatient with children or that being the stage of our life, and how actually having the patience to let our children... learn by their consequences, and how I'm just trying to think if that really answers the question, but it's to do with having patience in the moment is, you know, feels maybe exhausting, it's hard to do, but actually I feel like it's a bit of a picture of how God is with us, and it's not, you know, he's not a quick fix, and so we have to be prepared for that. Maybe that's a lesson I've learned.
Jan, did you put your hand up?
Yeah, well, really, just following on from what Karen was saying, his aim is always to make us more like Jesus. His aim is to conform us to the image of Jesus. So I guess, you know, all the things we go through, we can either allow that to happen or we can fight against it. And we were both saying on our table the sort of different family situations that we've both got. You can rile against it to begin with, and then you can start to pray God's blessing into really hard circumstances and trust him that it's going to change, and it will. And in doing that, your own rhythm of life slows down a bit that you were talking about. You're not all het up all the time, you know. It's this trust business, isn't it? You either trust him or you don't. And if you do, then patience will grow and we will grow, and we'll grow to be more like him. Yeah.
I think following on from Jan, that's a difficult one because, you know, we say, Lord, we'll trust you, but I've got plan B reserved just in case you don't come through. And that's a difficult one as well. So, you know, I'll just leave that there open-ended. Anybody else?
It was just one for me. Patience for me, I think, is something that I have to really try for. It doesn't come naturally with a toddler and working full-time. But the thing I found through having patience, once I get to the point of having the patience, is that I'm happier and patience becomes easier, if that makes sense. So I have to try to get the patience in the first place, which is often actually stopping and thinking about myself. And then once I've got the patience, everything just becomes easier to manage. You feel more relaxed, you're able to sleep. It just improves so many elements of life. So...
Right, I think Ronald's going to share a few other things that some other people have said about patience. Are you okay there? Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you probably can't read that, so I'll read it from here. The strongest of all warriors are these two, time and patience. That was from Leo Tolstoy, or Tolstoy, whatever. And then Aristotle, who we're more familiar with, patience is bitter, but its fruit is sweet. I think that goes following on from our last answer. And then patience and diligence, like faith, remove mountains. And that's William Webb, if you can't see that.
I think also one of the things I saw somewhere is that we got to remember to have patience with ourselves. Because a lot of the things, you know, we are impatient with other people, but sometimes we are very impatient with ourselves, and finding that patience for yourselves to actually say, well, actually, it might take a bit of time, and reflecting on that, it definitely helps. So we are going to have one last discussion point, hopefully quite quick, but before we do, I thought we could just see what the kids have been doing. Have they got any little bits, just making little animals and... Oh, it's a portrait of Bryony. And you can see a beautiful butterfly there. That's gorgeous. That's gorgeous. Look at that. Ooh. Oh, and we've also got little stick people. Thank you so much, Bryony. Oh, wow. Oh, and that's a beautiful hand, decorated hand, lots of jewels. Glorious. So I think the last discussion point, I think we've touched on it a little bit, but how can it be powerful? Like, how can patience be powerful in your life? Yeah. So if you try to discuss that a little bit and then...
We'll give a very short time for this one.
Yeah,
I think how can patience be powerful? I think, you know, at the end of the day, I think when you wait for something for such a long time, whether it's in your life or whether it takes 3 years, 2 years or 1 year, it's the end result that works. And then you can look back and see where God has worked in your life and look back to where Jesus has worked and built up to the end result of what he wants to happen in your life.
This is very spiritual. My mother said this to me. Patience is a virtue. Get it if you can. Seldom in a woman, never in a man.
Amen to that. Anybody else?
Kind of the reverse of that in a sense, but I think impatience is very disempowering because... There's no listening on your part to God or others. there's no connection because people know you're being impatient. So all you're doing is maybe winding them up as well as yourselves. So patience is both giving yourself space, them space, and having a connection, maybe building a connection that you couldn't if you were being impatient. So I think impatience is very disempowering.
I think, just following on from that, I think patience, you're in control, whereas impatience, you're out of control. And that's the point of difference. And it's being in control that that gives you the peace.
Impatience can be incredibly destructive. Impatience in the car, as I know, can be very destructive. But impatience can be destructive of parenting, of relationships, of just building God's kingdom. In contrast, I think patience can be very constructive. Patience with God there can really be very, very constructive in terms of understanding ourselves, because when we're patient, we are things about ourselves become exposed, and we can grow in the likeness of God. But I think patience can be very constructive in terms of building relationships and building a church, building God's kingdom on earth.
Thank you.
Oh, hello. I'm a stranger to this church, but I believe that patience will come to you if you are out of a stressful situation and not too much hassle, and be the best that you can be towards other people, and that way you'll find your way to God.
Just strikes me that patience often goes together with humility, and impatience likewise goes together with arrogance. Patience also often goes with thankfulness, whereas impatience often goes with taking things for granted and expecting, well, just being unreal in your expectations. And underneath all that, together with thankfulness and humility, goes the thing I was bleating on about earlier on, which is trusting God. And patience in believers is a real demonstration to the rest of the world that they are trusting in God. And I think God honors that. And that's how it's powerful.
So I think to close from that, my understanding of patience is I looked at it as a muscle. So you have to build on that muscle. You have to grow that muscle. You've got to work that muscle. So every single day, you've got little opportunities where you can grow that muscle. So wait in that line. And, you know, if you're in a line, text a friend, or, you know, catch up with a friend on Messenger, or give a friend a call. But grow in that patience. And I think that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to be still, and he wants you to grow. And in his own time, you know, you will get to your destination. God will get you there. But you've got to work at it every single day. And knowing that you're working on it gives you the peace, knowing that you're going to go through the traffic. It's going to be heavy traffic. But knowing, yes, it's going to be heavy. But you know what? If I speed up a little bit, it's really not going to make the difference. Yeah.
So as Mark says, we're coming into land now. Thank you for your patience. So we're going to look at God's way of helping us progress, to develop and to grow. It's a journey between your goal and your destination. And God delivered a promise. I don't know what the scripture is, but you probably will. God is the author and finisher of our faith. He will bring us to completion, paraphrasing. But that goes back to what John said, trusting in God, that he has a plan for your life, and a timing of that plan, so a timeline that he's running against. And we just need to trust him fully to see that develop. So just some closing thoughts. As an encouragement, we are all on a journey. Everybody struggles with patience. Nobody has perfected that except Jesus. And the encouragement here is Jesus is on our side. He speaks to the Father on behalf of us and mediates between us and says, hey, just remember, whatever they've done, I've paid the price. It's already paid for. It's okay. As long as we go before him and be repentant, we don't need to let impatience hold us captive. And following on from what Jill said, we kind of had something, but we thought it was a bit cheesy. If you look at the word impatience and you take away the I am and you put an apostrophe and say, I'm patience, that's kind of you putting on patience. And then a last closing thought is, following on from what Jill said as well, having patience with the world, but first of all, you need to start with yourself. We work out our salvation, your own salvation, with fear and trembling. And then the last scripture, just to close off, James 1, 4, verse 8, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Find that very interesting. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to men liberally. But let him in faith, not wavering, like the sea driven by the wind and tossed and turned, for let that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So if we're trusting God, let's put our act behind it and say, Lord, I trust you for your timing for my life. So as an encouragement, we are now finished. We are going to hand over to Mark. And thank you very much.